Well, my butt can't catch a break. I went running this morning, you know, and like I was wearing this pair of pants and just chafed the Christ out of my poor butt.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk about atheist comic characters, what would convince us of God's existence, and Tim answers our five questions.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm Nick Glover, and I'm joined by
Tim Wick
and
Molly Glover.
And today we're going to talk about superheroes.
Yeah, we're going to talk about superheroes.
And religion.
And non-religious superheroes.
Not really, because we were talking that this weekend Batman Rises. Dark Knight Rises. Dark Knight Rises. It comes out this weekend, and I was asking myself, you know, is Batman an atheist? What does Batman believe in God? Because I'm thinking, if any dude would be an atheist, it would be fucking Batman.
You think so? I mean, what with the parents being killed in front of you and...
Well, sometimes that tragedy drives people to religion.
That's true.
But I think that
tragedy drove Bruce Wayne to be...
A man in a bat costume.
Doesn't feel like religion.
Well, also, one of the world's foremost detectives. I mean, really, Batman is the detective. His comic is Detective Comics.
Yeah. Right.
And a detective is a skeptic.
A good detective needs to be a skeptic, because in order to accurately detect, you know, things and investigate, you have to be open to all possibilities, but yet not so open that you're jumping to conclusions. I don't know. Sherlock Holmes, arguably the world's greatest detective. I mean, if you're not outside of Batman,
how about the greatest English detective?
Absolutely, yeah. And he's absolutely an atheist. I mean, I feel like I'm saying that the Conan Doyle novels.
I don't know that they really delve into
because at the time, I mean, atheism was not accepted, and I mean, even less so than now.
Yeah,
he surely does have the idea of debunking a lot of religious dogma and supernatural, which is often tied to religion.
I would think the new BBC series Sherlock. I would think that Sherlock Holmes.
Benedict Cumberbatch is Moffat's Sherlock is an atheist. I feel I can say that.
Yeah,
I think they don't
talk about his religion. And he's a high-functioning socialist.
Yes, it's true. Oh,
I love that fucking show.
So Batman.
Batman is a detective, so he's a natural skeptic.
Right.
If we look, and I was doing this earlier, we were talking about this before we started to record, so I looked at the Religion of Comic Book Characters website. Yes, that actually exists, and we'll have to provide a link in the show notes. But it calls Batman a lapsed Catholic or a a lapsed Catholic Episcopalian.
So, and that's just saying his parents raised him possibly with some church.
Right.
Because that's what you would do if that's the thing. If you are of a high standing in the community, chances are you're WASPs and you go to some sort of Presbyterian, Episcopalian church. So maybe he's lapsed because, you know, who's taking him to church? Alfred doesn't take him to church. I mean, that's for sure.
He
clearly doesn't go to church. He doesn't have time.
Maybe Alfred goes to church. We don't know what Alfred does.
He's definitely not a practicing anything.
He doesn't have the time for it. Well, yeah. I mean, the Joker is... If he's going to do something, he's not going to, like, wait until after church.
Right.
And so Batman can't be going to church when the Joker might be getting ready to fuck up Gotham. You know what I'm saying?
Well, so he also went and studied, you know, under Ra's al Ghul and all that, you know, or...
In the League of Assassins. In the movies.
And in the comics, does he also do that training at some point? Does he do that spiritual...
I don't know. Well, he doesn't do it with Ra's al Ghul. In Grant Morrison's Batman, he does do a lot of, meditating and inner spiritualism with monks.
Arguably religion.
But it's more in the vein of body control and controlling his subconscious and his mind.
Sure. But theoretically there could be some spirituality being tucked away.
Well, spirituality maybe, but there's no magic to it. It's because
which is interesting because he's in a comic universe where magic exists. I mean, he's in the same universe with Superman and Zatanna and there's what one might describe reasonably as supernatural forces at work.
Green Lantern.
Yeah. The Green Lantern is
a lot of times it's
Green Lantern is science.
Well, or alien powers, which can be magic or science.
Any technology that is sufficiently advanced is indistinguishable from magic.
That's the more the Marvel take on magic.
Switching from DC to Marvel real quick, actual confirmed superheroes that are atheists, Hank Pym.
Yeah.
Who is Giant Man / Ant-Man.
He's got an identity crisis, doesn't he?
Right.
Well,
the Pym particles. He used to abuse his wife. On one occasion he beat his wife.
One time. Come on.
He's awfully villainized. He's got a lot of bad habits.
Well,
but his atheism isn't painted as one of
them. It's in a very pro-humanity, yay science kind of way. He's actually, I love the theory about Hank Pym that he is a man who is born in every way to be a supervillain, struggling against his fate and trying to be a hero and just failing colossally every time.
Because he wants villainous things.
He just wants his wife back. So what does he do? He clones her into a robot and,
forces her memories into this, false body.
It's all this super shady, villain stuff. Like, his power is to control ants. Like, that's like a 50s supervillain kind of like monster movie thing. That's not a good guy power.
Yeah, that's like fucking them.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Except they are actually not giant. They're just little.
Yeah.
Baby.
Yeah. So, I mean,
he's like the most dangerous superhero to, a Sunday afternoon picnic.
So
you can possibly imagine.
I'm just trying to imagine, yes, my pretties, fetch the picnic. You know?
Ha.
You will
make my wife love me.
I just want my dead wife.
Well, or Ultron. I'll make this robot that'll serve man. It'll be perfect and it'll make the world a better place. And it's arguably the most powerful villain in the entire Marvel universe is created by Hank Pym. Calls him father and shit.
So he's an atheist, but he's super smart.
Right.
He's one of the smartest in the universe. And then also there's Phantom X, who is French-Canadian. And also incredibly smart.
Yes.
And a scientist.
Yes.
Brilliant medical scientist, research scientist.
Yeah, it's very complicated what he is.
Right, but he's also an atheist.
Yes.
Which it's interesting that the characters that we know are atheists that have come out, you know, so to speak, and been put on record as being atheists are...
They're all kind of dicks.
Brilliant scientist dicks.
Yeah.
Mystique. Mystique is an atheist. What was the name of the Religion of Comic Book
that
Characters?
That doesn't surprise me, really.
That Mystique, yeah.
And
Wolverine is kind of, it says, Wolverine's fun. He's raised Protestant, sometimes atheist.
Right.
Has practiced Buddhism, skeptical seeker.
Officially, Wolverine's an atheist despite the fact that he is... met the devil and death itself and all that. And it's
But that's not, I mean...
Well, that's...
That's the Marvel Universe where everything that's fantastic actually has some sort of basis in
it's real, not
reality.
Like in the real world, where it's all fake.
That brings me to an idea that I want to discuss later. I think when we're ready to move off of superheroes, I have a point to make about the meeting the devil and still being an atheist thing. But,
sure,
but I
all the Kree. All the Kree are
which is okay. Just we're getting super nerdy. That is a race of aliens in the Marvel universe.
Well, it's the Kree Skrull War. Captain Marvel is a Kree,
right?
And they are
they have light based powers,
genetic,
a lot of them,
energy shaping insect DNA, whatever.
Not powers from God.
Very science.
In fact, they specifically
the quote about the
yeah yeah
yeah it's We Kree have a mathematical equation that proves the non-existence of any deities. We learn it when we're children, about the same time we learn not to soil ourselves with excrement. And that's Novar.
Like primary school. Like you learn your alphabet and you learn that there is no God.
Yeah, and with math. Like they prove it, yeah.
So when you're saying, well, Wolverine is an atheist, despite having met the devil and death and all that, it makes me think of those 10 questions for every atheist that Tim, that you blogged about.
Yes.
That
we were.
So one of those was, what evidence would you have to be presented with to not be an atheist? Like, what would have to be presented to you to make you decide, yes, okay, you're right, that proves it, there is a God? And I'm going to go ahead and answer this to start, which for me is zero. There is zero evidence. There's nothing, because no matter what it is, I would assume it was a magic trick or some sort of illusion, or that I was crazy, because I know for a fact I have been delusional. So
what if it was like something that was witnessed by several thousand or several million people?
I would think that was a shared delusion. I mean, there are several million people now who will probably pass a lie detector test saying that they believe Jesus is the Son of God.
Well, there's been like water taintings and rotten bread historically that's caused mass hallucinations.
I feel like for me, and I don't know if that makes me any better, or that doesn't maybe makes me just as bad as any Gnostic theist, to be like, I'm convinced. I don't know what could possibly be presented to me that I would believe there was a God, that I wouldn't just think I was hallucinating or that I was having a seizure or a stroke.
I don't know what it would take for me. I honestly have no idea.
Hey, it would need to be something on a pretty massive scale.
Yeah.
Something that the amount of skepticism it would take to decide that it was a mass delusion on that scale
would be
more than the amount of skepticism it would take to think that it was real.
It's like,
sure, no. The amount you're saying it didn't happen to you is the same as now people who say Christ was the Son of God.
Sure, yeah. Like, so I mean, let's say every single person in the United States at the same time had the exact same experience. They could describe it the exact same way.
Like that, yeah, what was that TV show where everyone passed out
To me that would be very difficult to explain away as just delusion. You know, I would still be skeptical. I'd still want to know if there was something else to it, but
solar flares,
but at the same time I would think that something that would cause that kind of a mass delusion wouldn't cause the same delusion in that many people across that large an area.
I like, the James Randi, the Randi Foundation, the million-dollar reward that they have posted.
Yeah.
I think their stipulation is that they have to be able to recreate the display of psychic or magical abilities in a controlled environment with monitoring devices at where he says.
Yeah.
Like, I think it would have to be like, can you create a miracle in a lab environment with, like, reputable scientists present measuring this magical phenomena, this miracle, and is it reproducible? I think it would.
Is it reproducible is pretty much one of the first tenets of science, scientific hypothesis
testing.
To get
the same results.
Yes, like the scientific method, you know, reproduce for same results in same conditions. Yep. Otherwise, it's not. I mean, that's what happened with before this recent Higgs boson discovery, when they back a few months ago when they thought they'd found something.
Or when they had the particle went faster than the speed of light.
And
the scientists who said they had that finding even said, you know, we aren't convinced that this is true.
Right.
We can't redo it. We can't,
And they encouraged other scientists. They basically gave them the information on how to do the same tests. And, of course, it turns out that neutrinos can't travel faster than light, which pisses me off because I want faster than light travel so bad.
Well, it's
bad.
Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. And they were like, we think this happened, but man, like, I don't know. Like, they were doubtful of their own claims, which is...
Mm-hmm. Which brings us back around to Batman.
Yes.
In a way, is Batman is, I think, in comics, the ultimate skeptic. You know, but of course, he is trying to determine what supervillain is behind every supervillain. You know, but he is using logic and eliminating the Fantastic to get down to, well, what, the Fantastic, and, you know, the Joker,
well,
or the Riddler.
Sure.
Well, and
or,
also
or
there's,
Bane.
You know, he people think he's a phantom. They think he's a ghost. They think he has magic powers because he is so skilled, calculating, and has the money to provide the devices and the tech that he gets from Lucius Fox. So it's like...
preys on their insecurities and their superstitions.
Right. In a sense, it's like... So, you know, they're always... Everyone's afraid of him because they think that he can do superhuman things. But the truth is, I mean, Batman is just a dude. That's the thing. He's a dude with a lot of money and a lot of intelligence.
Essentially, a magician, isn't he more likely to be skeptical of the Fantastic because he knows how to fake people out.
Exactly. Sure.
He knows how to make people believe that he is superhuman.
That's like
he's not.
Penn and Teller, you know, like Penn Jillette, famous atheist or you know, at least agnostic.
I think you can say he's an atheist.
Yeah, that's how he describes himself. But, yeah. And yet, like, you know, debunker, like, he knows how to replicate tricks and how to deceive and how to do cold readings. And because of that, you know,
he knows it's all bullshit.
It reinforces his
the
conclusions he's come to.
And it makes you wonder, does Batman see it the same way? And the comics are very unclear as far as
Batman's... Well, it depends on who you're reading, too. I mean, he's been around for... How long has Batman been around at this point? Almost 80 years? It's got to be something like that.
Detective Comics.
It's got to have been from the 20s or 30s,
I feel.
We're
bad nerds. I don't remember the debut date of Detective Comics.
I'm a good nerd. I just don't remember that wheelhouse. But I think that... I don't know. And it's interesting because there's still... You know, like in the last couple podcasts, you know, in our five questions when we've asked, who's your favorite atheist character? Both of our guests have answered with a real person. Which is interesting to me because I was thinking about it. It's like, they're really... I mean, maybe there's just not a lot of fictional atheist characters that come to mind immediately because it's still this really weird, nebulous, like, kind of people don't want to put that label on it necessarily. I mean, this whole idea of, like, you know, oh, it's almost like in the 50s where it was like, now we know, you know, Rock Hudson, you know, Liberace, but they're gay guys. Those are gay guys.
Yeah.
Like, but at the time, it was like, you would never have said that.
Sure.
It's a similar thing.
These days, probably the last 10 years, we've seen a lot more atheists coming out and saying, "Nah, I'm an atheist," and not saying it in an apologetic way, saying it in a way that's a challenge to people who are theists, but just saying, "I don't believe in God."
Right.
And maybe, especially, I think with Batman, that's a situation where that character... Batman is an enigma anyway. Bruce Wayne and Batman are supposed to be mysterious. Bruce Wayne keeps himself really hidden from everybody. And I think he keeps himself hidden. The writers, good writers of the Batman comics, keep Bruce Wayne Batman hidden from the audience
Yeah.
I mean, Bruce Wayne is, at this point, Batman is so Batman that Bruce Wayne is the alternate identity.
I was thinking that when I was watching, you know, the end of Kill Bill, when Bill does the big speech about how
Superman is not the secret identity.
Clark Kent's the mask.
And talking about how Batman is the mask of Bruce Wayne, I'm like, absolutely not. I don't agree with that at all.
Bruce Wayne, there is no Bruce Wayne in reality, I feel, anymore. There is a guy who is Batman, and there is a guy who is Bruce Wayne, and I don't think that guy has a name. I don't know what he calls himself, and if you want to think of it like in the Matrix, you know, the way you see yourself, so that but I don't know what he would think of, how he thinks of himself, but Bruce Wayne is a playboy billionaire who spends a lot of money and fucks a lot of ladies
and
drives around.
But that's a role that he's playing.
And that's
playing.
Not a person.
It is an act.
It's not a person.
Yeah,
The real person is the guy who's covered in bruises and alone. All the time.
Well, he's almost never alone because of Alfred and because of the whole Bat family.
Nobody's
thing right
alone.
Now. No, well,
is
sure.
what I mean. I but, don't mean like he's alone because there's no other people in the room.
In the recent Batman and Son, which is in Morrison's run of the, you know, the very recent Batman comics, he has kind of forgotten how to be Bruce Wayne. And when he's out in public, he starts using his Batman voice when he's at dinner parties and shit.
Can you imagine?
And so, like, Alfred has to, like, give him a stiff elbow and be like, "You're Bruce Wayne right now.
I'm
attend,
like,
who am I?
Medium rare.
Oh, Bruce Wayne. Bruce, that's the living end. How is that story? Tell it again. Well, I was in the...
yes, I was walking down the street.
Why, that's strange. You sounded just like that Batman fellow.
but I mean, like...
I call this meeting of Wayne Industries to order!
I remember because of that time that he slipped me.
Yeah, he needs a reminder now because it's slipping. It's like fading away from his life. He's forgetting how to be a person.
And this is nothing to say of even, I mean, New 52 Batman.
It's
and
the
all.
Same Batman.
Is it? Well, Batman hasn't changed?
It's Grant Morrison.
There's
very little,
no reboot?
Very little changed in New 52 for him.
Interesting.
Most of that was kept the same to keep Grant Morrison on it because he's doing
sure.
that.
Sure.
You know, that Kill Bill speech is I think, inspired by this guy Brian Azzarello wrote a comic called Lex Luthor, Man of Steel. Mm. And it's Batman from Lex Luthor's perspective. And Lex Luthor's an atheist. Lex Luthor is a...
Again, brilliant science dick.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's pro-science humanist. And he says that Superman, his view on Superman is kind of like my view on religion. And that's... Superman does good, but relying on Superman is dangerous. He's stunting humanity's growth by trusting in this alien. Humankind will never reach its potential.
Hmm.
Well, because we won't have to, because we have this super crutch, this alien creature.
Oh.
And so, in order for mankind to really fulfill its destiny and reach its take advantage of all its potential. We would have to get rid of Superman because then we don't have him to rely on. And I feel like as much good as religion can do, believing in supernatural things and not requiring proof for claims is inherently dangerous.
Well, how many people, when something bad is happening, say, send your prayers to the victims of the tornado my prayer circle got together and we prayed for hours to help the hungry families in Minneapolis.
Right.
It's like, well, so...
As opposed to Batman, who's like...
Right.
Fuck prayer circles, I'm going to go kick the Joker's ass.
Or as opposed to Lex Luthor, who's like, well, I'm going to engineer a way to grow crops that will feed the hungry.
And so, in the, in D.C., I wonder how many people shout for Superman rather than call 911.
Yeah.
He's got super hearing.
Or
just expect that
he'll be there.
Right.
When we're going to drive drunk, and it's fine, because nothing bad will happen to us, because Superman will,
Yeah, I hear you.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so I think we got to move on to five questions, but I think that the ultimate conclusion that we come to is we don't know. We don't know.
No.
The comics are very unclear on Batman, but
I feel like
because
we don't really know Batman. We don't
I would
really
be
know
surprised
him.
To find.
There's a lot of religious iconography in Batman. The parents' grave,
lots
of graveyards. Yeah,
there are a lot of
and,
graveyards with crosses in it.
And,
but
it's not religious. It's very...
It's actually scary.
Well, and who's to say...
It should be dark.
I mean, unless you are an atheist, raised by an atheist, I mean, there's going to be some religious dregs kind of like scattered through your, through your upbringing. I mean, that's just how that is. And and so, maybe Tim, maybe your kids' kids will, be at a place where they don't even know. They're so removed from it that it doesn't even affect them anymore. But, I mean, I think all of us sitting at this table, I know we all had religion in our upbringing some way. So,
yeah.
I'm sure
well,
Batman's the same.
Americans. I mean, that's de rigueur.
And so
that's,
is Batman.
It's hard
don't forget, Batman,
I'm
America.
I'm Batman and I'm an American.
Atheism. Go see The Dark Knight Rises and... we're going to go talk about it. We're going to talk about it soon.
We'll talk about it.
We'll
see it. It hasn't even come
trying
out.
To, trying
so
to
you
stop
guys,
me from
you guys
talking
see
about
the
it.
Movie, and then you let us know what you think. If you think Batman's an atheist or not, like, we want to know what you think, guys. Weigh in.
Provide citations.
So do we want to do the five questions?
Yeah.
Sure.
We're going to ask, let's ask Tim. Let's ask Tim. Yeah, Tim.
Okay.
You want to do five questions?
Sure, I'll do five questions. We got to do ours sometime.
So, who's your favorite atheist character?
Favorite atheist character is Dexter.
Dexter.
I love the show Dexter. I actually just started rewatching from season 2 because somebody has my season 1 DVDs and I'm really pissed off about it. But Dexter is great because even though he's a serial killer, he's still grounded and he's got a sense of moral code. And
yeah.
And he clearly, you know, he talks about not believing in God all the time. And he's got this interesting perspective on it, almost wishing that he could believe in God.
Sure.
And I feel that
way. It'd be comforting.
I feel that way sometimes, you know, because I myself, I absolutely don't believe that God exists. But at the same time, I'm not nuts about just getting 90 years. It's not about it's not about a fear of death so much as I always say, I want to know what comes next.
Yeah.
And at some point, I won't know anymore. And that pisses me off. That I just don't get to find out what things are going to be like 100 years from now.
You could hire a ragtag bunch of pseudoscientists to fly across the galaxy and find our creators and
Prometheus. So anyway, I really sympathize with Dexter's inability to understand religion and almost sometimes envy people who believe. I don't believe that religion is a good thing, and yet I do sometimes envy the ability to have that simple answer to everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally understand. That's usually the second question we ask, because wrote these down from memory. So, that was question number two. Question number one is, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
Okay, I watch a lot of movies. You guys know that.
What?
I know, but I'm...
You an alphabetical movie project. Right?
we'll get to that. We'll get to that in question number three or four. But the best movie I've seen in the last month, I think, actually, was Brick. Which we watched on Movie Night a few weeks back. I wanted to watch it for a long time.
No, that's
and
so...
And I'm a big fan
that's
of
awesome.
Noir films. Mm-hmm. And I'd read about it, and it's a wonderful... I mean, you guys know. You were the ones that brought it over for us to watch. But for those that haven't seen it, it's this amazing modern noir. All the characters behave like classic noir characters, but it's set in a modern high school. And... Stars Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and that actually is a good sign of a good movie. I gotta tell you.
Very little of it takes place in the high school, especially like outside or in the I think California area. But that's Rian Johnson. That's the Looper, the Bruce Willis Gordon-Levitt movie
that's coming out.
Yeah, he's
later
wrote and directed that too.
So yeah,
Lucas Haas is in it too. And then a bunch of people who I'd never heard of before, but I recognize.
I just got to say, it's a great movie, and if you haven't seen it, you got to watch it.
I'm really glad you really like that one. I love that. That's, you know, that experience when you like show something you like to someone else, and they really like it, and you get like a little bit fulfilled.
Yeah. The problem is that a lot of times I do that, and people are like, "Oh yeah, what? Fuck you, motherfucker."
Yeah.
Yo, Jimbo's fucking awesome. anyway, so I like Brick. That's my answer.
All right, so Tim, what's your geekiest hobby?
Well, we were talking about that earlier. My geekiest hobby is that I am currently watching every movie I own in alphabetical order.
Which, now, you don't own like 50 movies. You don't own
like
100
or 800.
Yeah.
I own a lot of movies.
What letter are you on right now?
I'm on I, and
you're
I've been doing it for about 3 years.
And you have rules.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got...
Of course he has rules.
Everybody who watches their movies in alphabetical order has rules. Yeah, the rules are that... I mean, the one rule is I can watch them out of order if I want. So, like, sometimes, you know, my wife will say, well, what movie are you up to? And I'll say, well, I'm up to Inglourious Basterds, but right after that is Intolerable Cruelty. And she'll be like, oh, if you watch Intolerable Cruelty first, I'll watch that with you. So then I'll watch it out of order.
Because, sure. I mean, yeah, that's human company. You gotta,
A little bit of company is good for these kind of things. So that's one of my rules. Another rule is that if I acquire a movie, if somebody gives me a movie that falls in alphabetical, I have to watch it, but it has to be theatrical release. I'm not watching anything that went straight to DVD.
Now, this is important note, because I was traveling for work, and I was in the Seattle airport at about midnight, because I was taking a red eye, and I was browsing their $4 DVD rack at the Seattle airport gift shop, and there was a... there were some terrible movies.
And
I was standing there looking them up on my phone on IMDb to see if they had a theatrical release, and every single goddamn one of them was straight to DVD.
If you're going to give me a bad movie to watch, it's got to be a movie that was in the theater.
We got you that trilogy when you were at K. We were hoping you would have to watch it. The Killjoy movies,
which is a bunch of killer clown
turns
movies.
Turns out they were all straight to DVD.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. So, yeah. I actually, and then once I watch the movie, I actually do blog about it on my blog. And one of the rules there is I try very hard not to write directly about the movie. I try to write about something that the movie made me think about.
Interesting.
Which frequently involves referencing the movie in some way. But I just wrote a blog about insomnia and most of insomnia. Even though I wrote about the movie, I wrote about insomnia. And again, you know, sometimes I try and find a funny attack on it. And so most of the blog that I wrote about insomnia was how it was better than... It's my favorite Christopher Nolan movie, and I think it's better than the Batman movies. So most of the time, I was just trying to tell Batman fans that I thought the Batman movies are fine, and they're okay, and please don't flame me. So that was my take on that. And,
awesome.
And then if I get any movies that are a letter that I've already watched, so if I get a movie that starts with A, like, say, when I pick up The Avengers, I've got a list of movies that I have to watch once I get all the way down to through Z, then I'll go back and watch the
catch-up
list.
A little catch-up
list. So I've been doing this for 3 years, and I think probably about 4 more years. That's
awesome.
My guess.
Wow.
Awesome. So it's been 3 years, and you're on I.
I'm on I.
Wow.
I have a lot of movies.
Yeah.
It's really sick.
And has anyone ever successfully gifted you a movie?
Not yet. They keep talking about it, but nobody does it. You guys were the first to try, but
we got to make this happen.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
So if you have a movie you want to make Tim watch...
It's got to have had a theatrical release.
And he's
a U.S. theatrical release?
No, it can be foreign film.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Right.
Bollywood movies.
All right.
Like,
All right, so...
The next question is... What is your favorite sandwich?
Okay, it's a sandwich you can't get, but I used to work at Devani's, which is a local pizza and hoagie chain. So you got to make your own sandwiches. And so my favorite sandwich that I never, ever get ever again is a salami hoagie on 6-grain with double meat, mushrooms. The mushrooms must be underneath the cheese.
Mm.
Mushrooms underneath the cheese. And then on top of the cheese, cold roast beef. You cook the hoagie
with the salami.
With the salami and the mushrooms and the cheese. You melt everything, then you put cold roast beef on the top.
Mm.
You just put a little bit of the Italian dressing oil, what they call oil with the mayonnaise. A little bit of that on the top, a little bit of lettuce. Oh, my favorite sandwich.
Why? What is it about the mushroom cheese order? The cheese has to melt over the mushrooms?
The cheese melts over the mushrooms, which keeps more of the moisture in the mushrooms. If the mushrooms are exposed to the flame, because they're flame broiled, if the mushrooms are exposed to the flame, then the mushrooms dry out. So the cheese keeps the moisture in the mushrooms.
Sure, that makes sense to me, because they're put through the oven open face, I'm assuming.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
I used to work at Domino's, similar MO, yeah.
So yeah, that's my favorite sandwich.
All right, and finally,
none of you will ever get to eat it, but doesn't it make you hungry?
You could try to replicate it, though.
Oh,
I mean.
Yeah.
All right, so finally, Tim, what's the stupidest thing you've ever heard regarding your atheism?
Or skepticism.
Or skepticism, but I think we don't have to say that because he's an atheist.
Yeah, I'm an atheist. So a few weeks ago, I posted a blog entry that I do every week, shit that pissed me off this week, and I was bitching about creationists.
Yeah.
And something, and somebody said, you know, dude, you've got to just calm down about creationists. You're really very intolerant when it comes to creationists. And my answer was, yes, I'm fucking intolerant when it comes to creationists, because they can't put their shit in my kids' schools, and they're trying.
Yeah.
And that pisses me off. And they're like, they're not. And this person says, they're not hurting you by believing that the earth was created by God 6,000 years ago. And I'm like, yes, they are.
I agree.
They are hurting education in this country.
They're hurting all of us.
They're hurting all of us.
Humanity suffers for it.
Yeah, we all suffer for that. I'm like, it is absolutely not a harmless belief. It is a belief that we need to get rid of. And one of the podcasts we're going to do eventually here is we're going to talk about Inherit the Wind, but we got to get Nick to watch it.
I've never seen it.
And Inherit the Wind is sort of a touch point for why I feel so strongly about creationism.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that later. I don't want to get into it too much now. But
that
really pissed me off, the idea that, you know, that creationism is not harmful. I absolutely disagree. It is harmful.
Well, and you get that. I mean, I've gotten that whole, you know, like, you're intolerant of Christians, or you're, you know, you want people to tolerate your atheism, and you're just as intolerant of them. And I'm like, I never said I wanted anyone to tolerate my atheism. You can go fuck yourself if you don't want to tolerate my atheism. But I'm not going to tolerate your theism either. So, well, I mean,
I'm not going to tolerate you pushing it on me. That's pretty goddamn.
If there's one thing I'm not, it's tolerant. So, like, I mean, I'm okay being that way. That's it.
You know, atheism is a blank slate. It's not a belief in something. To compare atheism to theism is not equal.
Yeah.
They are not equal.
I agree.
Atheism is based on you know, skepticism is based on proof and examples and yeah, I don't know. They're not equal. It's not the same. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, that was five questions.
That was our five questions. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us at Geeks Without God. If you have any questions or comments or you want to recommend a movie for Tim, you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God, or you can send us an email at Nick, Tim, or Molly at geekswithoutgod.com. Thanks for joining us.
I'm Batman.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks,
we're geeks, we're geeks without God.
We're geeks,
we're geeks, we're geeks without God.
We're geeks, geeks without God.
Jesus, I can cut this out, don't worry.